Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord that we're able to be together again. On yesterday's broadcast, I began a message entitled, Partakers of the Divine Nature. And we were looking at an episode in the life of Jacob in Genesis, the 32nd chapter. At this point, he was obeying the word of the Lord, which told him to return to his father, to his homeland, if you will. He had been with his uncle Laban for about 20 years, had worked for him, and during that time, God had prospered him. He had wives, he had children, and a great many flocks, and had acquired abundance and wealth. And he was returning. But if you recall, the reason he left is because his brother Esau had vowed to kill him because he felt that he had been robbed of his inheritance as well as his birthright. And so at this very critical point in time, Jacob is returning, and in chapter 32, that chapter begins by saying, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's host.' And he called the name of that place Mahanaim." On yesterday's broadcast, I mentioned a little bit about it, but that word that is used here, it's a dual of the word Makena, which means double camp, or the New English Bible says, two companies. Other translations, like the Modern Language, says this is God's camp, and he named the place Mahanaim. The Revised Standard says this is God's army. The Living Bible says God lives here, so he named the place God's territory. So that double camp, referring to protection for Jacob, he was being encouraged by that. Either on one side or the other, front or back, there was protection from Laban in the back, as well as protection from Esau, his brother, in the front, because he didn't know what to expect when he encountered his brother after this length of time. In other words, what is this saying? That there was a complete guard. He was surrounded by God's favor. And beloved, you might be in a very desperate situation in your life right now. You might feel that you have no knowledge of what the future is going to hold. Just like Jacob, you could feel that the future could seem very threatening to you. You don't know how God's going to work things out. But just as God encouraged Jacob when he saw the angels of the Lord, God's camp, his army, so now we don't know if we saw that in the natural or if there was his vision was open, but at any rate, it was nonetheless an encouragement to him. He was surrounded, just as you are, by God's favor. Think of Psalm 91, that beautiful psalm that talks about protection. What does he say in verse 11? "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Now that's a wonderful promise to hold on to, that God's angels are with you. And so, as we also look at another reference in the scripture, in the Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 13, the church is referred to as two armies, called a Mahanaim, or two camps. What will you see in the Shulamite, as it were, the company of two armies? And what do we see in terms of God's people? Jew and Gentile have become one in Christ, those of the Jews who have accepted Jesus. In Jacob's family, we see one army, the church, the Jews and Gentiles united, the church on earth in battle. And then, of course, there's the angelic host, which consists not only of the angels of the Lord, but the church triumphant and at rest in heaven. Remember that? I've always loved that scripture, Hebrews 12:1, talking about not only the great patriarchs, the great heroes of the Bible, but all of our loved ones in Christ who have died and gone on before us. Hebrews talks about in 12:1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Praise God. But beloved, we are in warfare. There's no question of it. You can be right in the center of God's will and experience some of the most difficult times and battles. Why? Because God isn't with you? No, of course, He is with you. But the enemy of your soul is doing everything he can to make you fearful, to make you doubt God. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 12, says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Beloved, that's a very sobering thought, that the warfare that we wage is against not just flesh and blood, but we're dealing with ancient powers that have been around since God created them. They're evil, they're perverted, and if it weren't for the Lord, we'd have reason to fear. But praise God, we can be encouraged again. Isn't the word of God wonderful? I want to bring you to bring to your remembrance another beautiful example in Scripture found in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verse 17. And again, here were a couple of God's people in a very dire situation, and this is regarding Elisha and his servant. And in verse 15 of chapter 6, it says, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, but with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, that was Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, what are we going to do? And he, Elisha, answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed, and because obviously his eyes had been opened to see that great heavenly host, he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So more be with us than be with our enemies. Praise God. Elisha prays, and his servant's eyes are opened, and the mountain was filled with the horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Praise God. So let's go back now to Jacob. Here he is. He's returning to his brother. He gets the encouragement of seeing the angels of the Lord. And he now realizes, as he's approaching the territory of Esau, that he needs to at least let him know that he's coming. And so he sends his servants on ahead, and he's asking that he might find grace in thy sight, verse 5. And verse 6 says, and the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we come to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Well, let's go on and read what Jacob's response to that is. Verse 7 says, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two bands, and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. He was obviously not in a good place. This was not a good report. So what did he do? He divided the company in two in preparation for flight, if necessary. But he prays and makes a decision not to turn back. He says in verse 9, O God of my father Abraham, you said to me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth, which you hast shewed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. He prays, makes a decision not to turn back. He sends gifts of livestock. He sends presents ahead. Each herd was in care of a servant. But Esau is there. He's got 400 men. And obviously, he might assume Jacob might, that he wanted to meet Jacob before Jacob had a chance to see his father, lest Isaac would intervene and mediate between them. So as we look now at this, it's interesting to note he's praying to the God of his fathers. When he was at Bethel, he had a personal revelation of God. And observe the covenant that he makes with God. These are his words in Genesis 28, 20, 21. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." Praise God. That's very significant. He's saying the God of my fathers will then be my God. And that peace, coming to my father's house in peace, it refers to health and security. It's a comprehensive word, meaning tranquility. And it's a clearly depicted condition or state of being satisfied, an unconcerned state of peacefulness. So we see God becomes his personal God. And of course, we know the end of the story. Of course, God undertakes in a wonderful way, and Esau embraces him, and they kiss each other, and everything seems to be just fine. But after his great deliverance, he comes to, that's a little bit further on in the 33rd chapter at the end, he comes to a city of Shechem in the land of Canaan. He builds an altar to God and calls it El Elohi Israel, the mighty God of Israel. Praise God. Well, I think this is a good point to stop right now, and then tomorrow we're going to continue on and look at an extremely interesting yet difficult to understand scripture, and that is Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. What is going on here? There's a lot more than we might imagine just in terms of surface reading. And so I do invite you to tune in tomorrow at this same time, and we'll pick up right where we left off. And if at any time you want to rehear a broadcast or you've missed one, feel free to go to unveilchrist.org and you can listen to the archived podcast at any time you desire. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. I want to thank you for listening, and UCM partners, God bless you for your prayer support as well as your financial help. Because of you and the faith of God's people, we're able to stay on this station. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.